Our scripture reading this evening is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin with the 12th verse and read through the 22nd verse. That's on page 988 of your pew Bible. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. Hear now the word of the Lord. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Thus we've read 12 through 22 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, this is your holy word that we've just read, and we ask that you would hide it in our hearts, that you would teach us from it, and that you would show us your will in Christ Jesus for us this evening. Be with the proclamation of your word to accomplish that purpose. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is Thanksgiving again in 2020, and it's been an interesting year. And perhaps this is a Thanksgiving like any other for many of us, where we're doing things differently than we have in the past, where maybe this Thanksgiving is accompanied with more fear and anxiety than in times past. But we can see God's will for us in all circumstances given to us here by Paul in 1 Thessalonians. He closes this book with just several straight, quick instructions to guide us in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. And I'd particularly like to focus on 16, 17, and 18 this evening, where he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I think these particular commands, these three, are linked and interrelated. He starts by telling us to rejoice always. It's always that we're supposed to be rejoicing. There are no exceptions given here. It's not most of the time. It's not in the good times. It's all the time. We should rejoice always. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be sad or grieve. This is not a denial of our God-given emotions, because rejoicing is not saying always be happy. No, the Bible tells us that there's a time for all of our emotions. We see even Jesus cries at the sad news of death of loved ones. But we can still rejoice in all things, even when we're shedding tears. We can praise God when things are good. And we can continue to praise and rejoice in Him even when they are tough and trying. Most people are willing to rejoice when things are good. But here Paul is telling us the Christian is to rejoice always. So what does he mean by rejoicing always? The idea of rejoicing is having an acceptance of what has come, and a willingness to praise God in it, no matter what it is. It's a giving glory to God even if things have gone horribly wrong. Again, it's not denying things like grief, but as Thessalonians says earlier, we don't grieve like the unbeliever, we grieve in hope. And that hope allows us to rejoice even in our grief. Rejoicing is having a spirit that keeps in mind God in all things, to keep in mind His great love and blessings and His providential control over all events, and to be able to see that these things all come from God, and therefore He ought to be glorified in them. And yes, when we do these things, it gladdens our soul and gives glory to God in heaven. Paul says something very similar to what he says here in 1 Thessalonians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, when he tells us, "Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice," reminding us that no matter what the circumstance is, what is called for from the Christian is rejoicing. And one of the things that he adds to that there when he says, "Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice," he reminds us it's because not to forget that the Lord is always at hand. Therefore, we can rejoice because whatever He has sent, He has not departed from us. He's still here, going and supporting us through it. Even if it's through the valley of the shadow of death, He's promised to be there. Is it suffering and persecution? He's promised to be there. Hardship and hard time? He's with us. We can rejoice because He's at hand. But you might be asking, well, how can I rejoice? It's very difficult to just say rejoice always and then be rejoicing when things are difficult. And I think that Paul wants us to connect these three things here when he says, next, pray without ceasing. How are we going to accomplish the rejoicing in all things? We're going to pray without ceasing. Praying, of course, being speaking to God, taking all things to Him and in our prayers. It's a talking with God. It's a going before the throne of grace in Christ Jesus. How can we rejoice in a year where many have lost jobs and perhaps loved ones and other things? Well, we need to constantly be talking to God about it. This way, no matter what the circumstance, when it weighs down on you, we can take it straight to the Lord in prayer. When we feel overwhelmed, we'll never forget that the Lord is at hand because we're talking to Him without ceasing. We might feel that we're on top of the world, but by praying without ceasing, we'll always remember that there's one who is greater and that there's one who's behind all the blessings that's made us feel like we're on top of the world. Prayer keeps us in an attitude of submission and an attitude of humility, as well as an attitude of praise and rejoicing. You'll never be able to rejoice always if you don't pray. And he does say here again, pray without ceasing. Never let anything stop your prayer life. Never let any circumstance get in the way of you going before the throne of grace in prayer. Satan wants you to stop praying. He wants you to give up on God because God will never turn His back on you. So Satan attacks us and he attacks our prayer life. He tries to cut off our communication to God. He tries to do this by making us think that we might have to be in the right mood for prayer. That we have to be feeling spiritual or thankful in order to give a good prayer. And then he overwhelms us with grief and sadness or loneliness or some other emotion, and we quit praying. But Paul here is saying, pray without ceasing. Pray in all the circumstances. Pray all the time. Read the Psalms. You can see that many of those are Psalms of lament, Psalms of asking for help, Psalms of even ending with things like, darkness is my only friend. Sometimes Satan tries to get us to think that prayer can only be done when we have a long stretch of time of uninterrupted silence so that we can focus. And don't get me wrong, those are definitely good times to pray. But sometimes those blocks of time can be hard to come by as we get busy. And we'll fail to pray because we say, well, I just don't have time. We ought to, first and foremost, make time to pray and to carve it out of our schedule and protect that time of prayer. But we should never forget as well that we can pray quickly. We can pray in the midst of tumult and trouble. Jesus prays multiple times while he hangs on the cross, and the people at the foot of the cross are mocking him and deriding him, spitting on him, and hoping he'll die. But he doesn't let it stop him from going to the Lord in prayer and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nor should we let the hustle and bustle of the world get in the way of our prayers. We should be willing to pray without ceasing. And then give thanks in all circumstances. The giving of thanks means an offering up words of thanks and offering them up freely. It's not meant to be a thank you pulled from a reluctant mouth. It's not someone nudging you and reminding you, don't forget what you say when something good happens to you, like we have to do with our children when we're teaching them to say thanks. Now, we ought to always have the attitude of going before the Lord and willing to give Him thanks. It should overflow from our heart. We should be a people who are appreciative of whatever is given to us. Because we ought to be recognizing that good has been given to us, no matter what the circumstance. Because we know who gave it to us. Comes from the fatherly hand of God. And so even if the circumstance is hard and a trying circumstance, we shouldn't be mumbling or complaining. We shouldn't be upset. Instead, we should be saying, You've given good to me, Lord. There's an old Puritan saying that says, show me a Christian who doesn't pray and I'll show you one who's unthankful. And thus, thanks and prayer are intimately related. Thanks and rejoicing always is intimately related. When we're able to look at circumstances and say, I can be content in plenty or in want, as Paul says in Philippians 4, and we can give thanks for whatever is before us, then we'll be able to rejoice in whatever is before us. And at the very least, we can always be thankful to God, the Lord Jesus, for His salvation and His righteousness, and for the fact that He is always at hand. As Philippians 4 goes on to say, let your request be known to God with giving thanks. And again, Paul puts here, giving thanks in all circumstances, just to drive home and to make sure we understand that this giving thanks is not just when worldly goods are given to us, not just when obvious good things have happened, but at all times. In the good and the bad. As I mentioned a minute ago, first and foremost, this should be because it comes from God. God's the one who gave it to you, therefore we should give thanks for it. As Job reminds us in Job chapter 2, verse 10, when he says, shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil as well? And then it says, in all these things, Job didn't sin with his lips, but he said there was good and was right. And a reminder that even in the circumstances that Job was going through, with family death, loss of wealth and property, loss of his own health, he was still able to say, this comes from my God, and I'm going to praise Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I'll thank Him in either one. The very fact that God is the author of whatever comes our way ought to make us want to say thank You for it. It's in Him we live and move and have our being, and we should thank Him for it. But second, we also know that whatever He sends is for our good, because that's what He promised us. Of course, we have to believe that promise of God, that all things are for the good of those who love Him, that we're told in Romans 8. If we do believe such a promise, then ought we not to be able to thank Him in all circumstances, because we know its ultimate end is our good. Even if it's a pandemic, even if it's getting sick, even if it's going through the valley of the shadow of death. We should be thankful because our God is a loving God who cares for our souls, and what He has sent for us is good for us. He doesn't afflict the children of men willy-nilly. He doesn't enjoy making people suffer. But rather He prunes and shapes and molds us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He knows, as the all-wise and all-good God, exactly how to accomplish that purpose. And even if we don't see it, we can say, I trust this promise, and so I thank You. I thank You for the hardship. I thank You for the pain. I thank You for whatever it might be that You've sent upon me, O Lord, because I know Your promise. So giving thanks then is a show of our faith. It's a display of our trust. It's a confession of our faith and a declaration in whom we believe. And so this Thanksgiving, look for the good and give thanks. This is a year that has challenged us in many ways. I would bet that all our lives have been impacted and changed. We've been forced to make choices. Choices that show our priorities or that make us give up our many things that we might want. Perhaps sometimes some of us have even lost jobs or opportunities to be with friends. Even times to fellowship like youth sports or other opportunities that have all been taken. Can you give thanks to God for these things? To give thanks in all circumstances. Have you looked for the good in whatever your situation might be and said, thank You, Lord, because this comes from You? Have you stopped and said, Lord, I don't know what this is for, but I know it is for My good. I may not see how it works out in the end, but I know it will. So thank You, Lord. This Thanksgiving, stop and try to search for the good. Search for the things to give thanks for, even in the hard things. So that you can take it to the Lord in prayer. And that you can rejoice in all things. And so pray. If 2020 has taught us anything, it should have taught us to pray. Because hard times ought to make us pray even more. But sometimes we fail in this and we don't go to the Lord with what's bothering us. We try to keep it to ourselves or even deal with it ourselves. Take it to the Lord in prayer. unburden yourself and be honest with God and pray. Don't think that God doesn't want to hear you talk about how you feel or your fears or your struggles. He does. He desires you to come before Him always. Here He says, pray without ceasing, which means He will always be there to hear your prayer. And He wants to hear about it. He wants you to say, Lord, this is how I feel. Help me. Go before Him in prayer. Not only will God answer our prayers, but even the very act of going before the throne of grace will help sanctify us and shape us. Prayer is essential for the life of a Christian. Make sure you are in prayer. And then rejoice. We can rejoice in times like these. If we're looking for things to say thank you to the Lord for, if we're going to the Lord in prayer, you'll find rejoicing not that difficult. Make sure you're coming to worship and praising and singing His prayer, singing His praises. And you can sing even if you're not in church. It's okay. After all, we're told to address one another with the singing of hymns and songs and spiritual songs, letting the Word of Christ dwell richly in us. It overflows in song. It's natural for us to sing praises. Make sure you're doing it. Rejoice, no matter the circumstance. Be ready to go to Him and say, Lord, praise be to Your holy name. And let it not just be once a year, let it be always. Did you see the repetition that Paul does here? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. He wants us to make sure we know, should know when to do these things, and it's always. We stop once a year to remind ourselves of the importance of giving thanks, but it ought to be a part of our daily life as a Christian, to rejoice, to give thanks, and to pray. Let that characterize us as Christians. Let it characterize you. Rejoicing and going to the Lord in prayer and giving thanks. May the Lord help us so that this is what the outside world sees, so that those who are outside of Christ will look at the Christians, will look at St. John's, will look at you and me and say, there's a person who rejoices and gives thanks and goes to his God in prayer. I know whom he trusts because he's always praying and he's always thanking and he's always rejoicing. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him for that now. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You that You're always at hand. We thank You that You are here among us, that we can go to the highest hill or the lowest low and You are still there. Lord, we ask that You would give us a heart that rejoices always and prays without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. Lord, use this year for us to learn these things. Mold us and shape us into people of prayer and thanks and rejoicing. May Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be glorified as we do these things. May His name be held high in our hearts and in our lives so that all the world can see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.